Okay, what we're going to look at now is the end of the Cold War. Now, the first little period we're going to look at is called détente, D-E-T-E-N-T-E. And détente basically just means a sort of a relaxation. We're getting along well in détente. It's when countries get along together. They're not allies, but they're not enemies. And that's generally what we call détente. And détente refers to sort of relaxed relationships between America and Russia and China. So why did relationships improve during this period? So after the Vietnam War, this is when we get this period of détente, and you have to ask why. Well, first of all, in America, there was a real reaction against the Vietnam War. I mean, war just wasn't very fashionable anymore. And so the American public weren't for spending huge amounts of money on nuclear weapons, for spending huge amounts of money on tanks and new fighter bombers. So to that extent, I mean, it suited America to try and come to a more relaxed relationship. It also suited China and Russia because President Nixon, Tricky Dickie as he's sometimes called, he and his Secretary of State, his advisor Kissinger, realised something that really had been true for quite a long time, but nobody in the West had really had the chance to test yet. The assumption had been all communists stick together. If you're a communist in Vietnam, then you're an ally of communist Russia and you're an ally of communist China. Next, Kissinger thought, hang on a second, maybe that's not the case. Maybe, yeah, China's a communist country and Russia's a communist country, but if you're a Russian communist, maybe you put Russia first. Maybe you're more interested in the good of Russia than you are in the good of communism. And when they looked at how China and Russia got on, yes, they both sent help to the North Vietnamese communists, but they were competing against each other. They were each was trying to be the best communist country in the world. And again, they looked at Cuba and they looked at different places, and they looked at Russia and China were actually competitors. They were competing. So what they did is they basically played the two against each other. They basically made friends with China. They went over and they met Chairman Mao and they made nice with them, and they basically set up trade agreements and they made nice with China. China liked this. China wanted to sell lots of goods to America. America wanted to sell lots of its goods in China. So all of a sudden the two countries started to get on very well, which panicked Russia, because China and Russia had actually gone to war, believe it or not. There have actually been border conflicts over areas which they claimed of each other. And so there have been small border wars between China and Russia, and they didn't like the idea of America and China being allies, so they started to make more friendly with America, so America would make more friendly with Russia. And all of a sudden, America realised, well, look, you know, we can put pressure on Russia without building more nuclear weapons, we just have to be much more friendly with China. And so there's this sort of balance of power. They call this the period of balancing power. Communist China, which actually backed the Vietnamese, would eventually go to war with Vietnam. So, I mean, Kissinger and Nixon were right. They were right. Countries put their own national interest ahead of something like communism. Other reasons were that nobody wanted a big nuclear war, so they wanted to come up with some way of coexisting with each other without actually blowing each other off the face of the planet. And the price of oil went up in the 1970s, and that made it expensive to build huge armies and nuclear weapons and to fuel them, so peace was cheaper. I mean, there were some good things came out of this period. I mean, America dropped its veto and allowed China to join the United Nations. There were visits with China. I mean, it looked like war was becoming less likely. 1972, there was something called the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty. And that SALT is the easy way to remember them. They're actually just called the SALT treaties. And SALT 1 was in 1972. And that limited an increase in the amount of nuclear weapons, and saying there'd be a 5-year delay in the building of more weapons, and then they would meet again after 5 years. So there was a delay in the number of weapons. There were non-proliferation treaties, which basically said that we're not going to allow nuclear weapons or more long-range nuclear weapons to be built. There were some sporting events between the two. It was called ping-pong diplomacy, but it was better than what had gone beforehand. And then in 1975, the USA, the USSR, and the major European powers accepted that Germany was going to be divided. So we're not going to go to war over Berlin anymore. There's going to be no more Berlin crises like the Berlin airlift or the Berlin Wall. We're not going to do that anymore. And the Helsinki Agreement also said that people in Eastern Europe should be allowed human rights such as free speech. Now, the Russians made that deal and thought nothing of it. As a matter of fact, that was a seed planted that would lead to the fall of the Soviet Union, that would lead to the end of communism. Because there were people in Czechoslovakia, there were people in Bulgaria and Hungary and Poland and Czechoslovakia in particular, who demanded their right to free speech, which the Russians had guaranteed them in the 1975 Helsinki Agreement. And they began to speak out, and groups like Solidarity in Poland began to speak out for their right to religion, to free worship in the Catholic Church, their right to form their own unions, their right to form their own political parties. Although that would take a long time to achieve. So the Cold War froze again. I mean, the Cold War got a little bit colder again. In 1979, SALT II was signed by Carter and Brezhnev. President Carter took over eventually after Nixon. And President Carter criticised the human rights record in the USSR and other states. Now, the Russians at the time didn't like that, but that probably helped those groups in Poland and encouraged them in Czechoslovakia to think, well, look, it's time to stand up. It's time to stand up for our own rights if President Carter can do it. But it didn't help relationships between the two countries. If you've got the President of America criticising your country, it's going to put you into a bit of a bad mood. But then in 1979, a militant regime, sort of fundamentalist Islamic regime, took power in Iran. And the Russians were very fearful of something similar happening in Afghanistan. And the pro-Soviet government in Kabul in Afghanistan was under attack. And they sent troops in 1980. And that led to a huge row between Russia and America. America refused to attend the Olympic Games in Moscow. There were all sorts of sanctions, or America refused to do a whole lot of deals with Russia at the time, because it looked as if Russia might, if it could get into Afghanistan, then maybe it could get into the Middle East and control the world's oil, was the fear. Now, I mean, there wasn't the slightest chance of that, because Afghanistan really became Russia's Vietnam. The Russians really struggled to control Afghanistan. They were fighting against basically the Mujahideen, they were called. The Mujahideen are a little bit like Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda came out of the Mujahideen. And the Mujahideen fought against the Russians and using guerrilla tactics. I mean, they really, really struggled against them for nearly 10 years. A lot of people throughout the world were really shocked that the Russians would invade another country and cry this way. And they were, a lot of people around the world were really worried that they were trying to seize control of the oil. So it didn't do Russia a lot of help worldwide. When the Russians invaded too, they did things like, I mean, in Kabul, they shot President Amin and they put in their own hardliner. But they really struggled against the Mujahideen resistance. And it wouldn't be until 1989 that they were able to pull out of that country. I mean, that was just a disaster for the Russian military. So Afghanistan was one reason why the Cold War looked a wee bit hot again. Eventually, this war would cost the Russians somewhere just over $1 billion. 1.5 million civilians would die, 15,000 Russian soldiers. Well, then Ronald Reagan became president of America. He tended to see the Cold War in terms of good versus evil. He looked at what the Russians had done in Afghanistan and he felt, no, the Russians are aggressive and they only respect strength. And so this period of, it was almost sometimes called the Second Cold War, but he was really determined to stop what he called the evil empire. He referred to the Soviet Union as the evil empire. He would send his American soldiers into Grenada in 1983 to get rid of a communist dictator. Brezhnev, again, is still in charge of America, or still in charge of Russia, sorry, and he looks at America and he's worried. He's really worried by America because he looks at Ronald Reagan and he begins to think, is this guy some sort of nutcase? Does he want to start another world war? Reagan's completely oblivious to this. He isn't aware of this, but the Russians were scared of him. The Russians did not want World War III. He wasn't prepared to compromise. And there was a sort of an arms race that sort of breaks out round about this stage, which we'll talk about a little bit in the next MP3.